non, moreover, Rabbi, non lessons from the leaf. I wanted to, Baruch Hashem, now that I have the opportunity to be back in yeshiva after your long break, something that I hope is not only on my mind, but has been on the mind of everyone here over the last few days, is that on Zos Chanukah, unfortunately, there was a horrible terrorist attack, shooting, which for the last few days seemed touch and go for the family of Shiran Amichai Ishran. And obviously the Rabbanu Sholom should continue sending Refuah Shlema to Shira Yael Bas Liora Sara and her husband Amichai Yishaya Ben Fega. They are a Anglo family, English-speaking family, the Shira's family, and very, very sad. I believe citizens of Canada, but seem to have a South African action, if I'm not mistaken. And unfortunately, we've been davening for Hatinok Ben Shira Yael, so that baby passed away yesterday. And in a very, very emotionally charged Levaya, which some great person, you know, we can make fun of Facebook all we want, but some great person put it on Facebook, so I was able to get Chizuk and watch it. They named the baby as per the halacha. So the father, the grandfather, the father of Amichai, Rav Rafael Ishran, so he said the following. He said, it's written in halacha that the name must be given to the baby. So the parents have given a name with great significance that symbolizes everything that they've gone through. And the baby's name is Amiad Yisrael. Our people is here forever. Amid Yisrael. I'm here forever. The people of Israel will last forever. It's a very, very strong name, really beautiful name. They think that they can do this. This morning there was a stabbing attack in the Old City. Baruch Hashem, the terrorist was not only neutralized, but was eliminated. Baruch Hashem, they also found the and killed the terrorist. If you remember, 2 months ago, there was a terrorist attack at the factory. I forgot the name of it, Bakaran factory. They knew exactly who the terrorist was, and it's a very cool, there's a video of them actually going into the hideout where he was, and he had a lot of weapons, and he was killed. And Baruch Hashem, they found both of the terrorists who were responsible for the death of this little baby, this not born baby that was murdered. Then, you know, on the what seemed the graces of the Ribbono Shel Olam, certainly always the graces of Hashem, was born and only had a few days to live. And one of the terrorists was Baruch Hashem killed. The other one was captured and maybe can give us information, which is also very important. And the question is that how do we respond? When something like this happens, especially if you hear in Eretz Yisrael, if you don't think about it at all and you let your life go on, you really are not getting Eretz Yisrael. You know, you guys have been here for 2 years already, and if it's something that doesn't change you, especially the closeness when you think about it, the photographer at our bar mitzvah a few months ago was his photographer and posted these beautiful pictures of them. And you know that they speak English, and you know there's a connection there, and they're religious Zionists, they're like you, and it doesn't touch you, and their mom's a few years older than you. Excuse me for being, you know, maybe a little bit harsh, but there's something wrong with you. If your neshama doesn't feel for it, if you're not davening for them, if you didn't even bother to get their name, you got to think about it. And maybe that we're so sensitized, Rachmanu Litzlan, with the death of an Ari Fold and Nebuch, you know, stabbings that happen, and we just take it. And that's actually what a lot of people have said, what Bennett said, someone who spoke last night, Levaya, I believe, is the head of the Shomron Council, and he said, what's going on? Why is the blood of Jews cheap? Here in the land of Israel, we control Israel, and nothing happens to them. They destroy their home, or they destroy only a room in their home because of a ruling, and they just build it in like 5 minutes. And these people are getting paid, and nobody does anything. And I'm not, forget about blaming the UN and the EU, and that's great. It's a great little scam to go ahead and blame them, because it's easy for us to look at somebody else, right? And to say, well, the Goyim, what about us? Why can't we be strong? in this. So I think that the greatest statement was made by the family. Shira and her husband basically, and one of the brothers said that they were singing all together after the Besoira Ra that they received. And her father, said so difficult, but this really struck me, that the baby didn't pass away until the mother was strong enough to be able to visit the baby, to be able to, once in her life, hug and kiss the baby. He said that was the ultimate form of kibud av v'aim. The child waited for the parents to be able to have that emotional connection. The baby brought, hopefully, achdus to Yisrael, made us think. But we have to think to ourselves, this strong message, we're here to stay. Just a few days ago, Mamash, on Zois Chanukah, I had this chus of going to Yerushalayim, my amazing wife who planned the day, and we went to the hospital first. We realized that since making Aliyah, we have gotten a lot of different, on my different trips, I saved a lot of like presents for the kids, and we had this whole box, and we realized we never gave the presents to our kids. For whatever reason, we saved it. It was for Hanukkah. There was too many presents, and we had this whole box of presents that were not age-appropriate anymore for them. A lot of girl presents for some reason as well. Sorry for my daughter, Shavon, that didn't get them. But she certainly doesn't want them now. So we wrapped all the presents, and we went to the hospital. We went to Shahid Sadek, and it was a really uplifting experience to see the joy on these kids' faces. A lot of people bring jelly donuts and bring this, and here we were just bringing presents, and my kids were going over and giving it to them, and they were opening it, and they were smiling. Really was beautiful, even to be able to give to mothers who had very little babies for their older kids, because the moms were not able to go out and get Hanukkah presents. Really, really special. And then we went to the Kotel. So it happened to be that on one of the greatest things when you park, and you know this, is that, you know, when you get out of the spot, that first car that comes, you go, "You're getting out? Oh, this is amazing." So it turned out, as I was getting out, who's the car that stops right in front of me? Yishai Fleischer. She's like, "Oh," he goes, "You're getting out." I'm going, "Yeah, the miracle of Hanukkah, I saved you a spot, you know." So I was thinking about something that he said, and you could agree or disagree with his political views, but he had such an awesome point once. He used to, I don't know if he still comes, he comes to the yeshiva, he used to come for Shabbos. So Yishai says the following thing. He said, "Why is it, people ask me, he's seemingly a bigger character than life, and he goes on these crazy, besides for CNN and obviously and Fox and things like that, he was on Al Jazeera and he's on all these Arab stations. He says, why do you go on it? They're making a mockery of you." He goes, "No, I want to show them something that they don't know. And I want to show them that the Jews are crazy. You know what they're crazy about? They're crazy about this land. Amid, we're staying here forever. You can shoot us, you can destroy us. It's not going to help. We're here to stay, and you can't do anything about that. What do you think, a little stabbing attack is going to get us to move from the Shomron? Absolutely not. A shooting attack, Chumot al-Islam, is terrible, but we're not moving. We're going to build now more yeshuvim. And that should be the call of the government now. Build a yeshuv now for this baby, in his name. That's the answer to this. Every single person that you kill, we're going to build another yeshiv. You think that's worth it? Fine. That's what we're doing." And he said that when I'm on Al Jazeera, one thing that they see is like, "Oh my God, there's somebody who's as crazy as this land as the Arabs think they are about the land. Are we crazy about the land? Do we care about Eretz Yisrael?" I think of myself a bit as a coward because I really should be living in the Shtachim. We have cousins who live in Neve Daniel, such a gorgeous, beautiful place. So many beautiful places, and I made the decision to live in beautiful Ramat Shiloh, and maybe in the Schuss be able to teach people like you. But that's the real strong stay. People who make not only a statement of making Aliyah, but move to a place and say we're here to stay. And that was what the message was last night. Very, very strong message. One of the strongest messages of Hanukkah that I heard, and in Mitzvah Shem, I'll relate it to the parasha as well, And if you heard it, I apologize, but it's a good sense of review for those that didn't hear it. One of my favorite rabbis, certainly one of my favorite Torah Anytime rabbis, one of the sites that I listen to, especially when I'm traveling in America, is Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. Anybody's not have a chance to listen to him, please Google him. He has such amazing classes, shiurim, really, really amazing insight. And he says the following. So he had eight nights, a very small snippets of Divrei Torah. So on the first night, he like hit a home run with that. And I know so because I've seen it sent out, retweeted, if you will. I don't have Twitter. But it's been all over the place. And I think just on his own site, he has about 30,000 views. But it's been on a lot of other sites. So probably, at least 50,000 people probably saw this Divrei Torah. And you know it. You know the concept because you know about the picture. And he talks about that famous picture. And if you put it in your mind, it's the picture of the menorah, the 1932 picture of the menorah in the backdrop on the eighth night of Hanukkah. What's in the backdrop? The backdrop is, of course, the Nazi headquarters. Right? Everybody here knows that picture, right? That famous picture that was taken. And to be honest with you, we're all inspired by the picture. I didn't know much about the picture until he spoke about it. The picture belonged to Rabbi Akiva Baruch Posner, who was the Rav of the town in Germany that this picture was taken. I believe it's called Kiel, if I'm not mistaken, something to that effect. And it was the eighth night of Hanukkah, which happened to be Shabbos Hanukkah. And his wife saw it fit to take a picture of the menorah before it was lit, before she was going to do candle lighting. And the picture actually had on back of it a message. It said on it, 5692, December 1932, the eighth day of Hanukkah. And here's what it said. It was in German. Obviously, I don't know German, so I'm going to translate what I heard. Judah will die. This says the flag. The backdrop of the picture I just took is of the Nazi headquarters. That Nazi flag. And they say Yehuda will die, says the flag. Yehuda will live, thus says the lights. What a profound statement of Rebbetzin Posner. And what's it saying? It's saying that, you know what? I know that not so many days from now, on January 30th, 1933, a month later, there would be elections and Hitler would take power. And I know that it's going to be some really difficult times. And they say that Yehuda, the Jews, will die. That's what the flag says. That's what, unfortunately, the flag continues to say. Those that have espoused to that hate. But the Neiros Chanukah remind us that we will live. And we do live. And 80 years later, says Rabbi Jacobson, 80 years later, at the commemoration of Kristallnacht, the president of Germany, President Steinmeier, went to the rabbi, the Chabad rabbi of Germany, Rabbi Teichtel, and he said, it's an 80-year commemorance. I ask you, Rabbi, I want to do something very special to remember this day. What can we do? So Rabbi Teichtel says, I am a Talmud, I am a student of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says that in the place of the most darkness is the place we can find the most light. And therefore, he said at this exact place, at Brandsburg Gate, the place where, that I don't know if you saw the picture on the internet, unbelievable picture, they lit the menorah, that famous gate where you had those Nazi flags where all of those ceremonies were, the army ceremonies where everybody had to, under law, scream and do Hail Hitler. That symbol of death, right, will be the symbol of light. Will be the symbol of light. President Steinmeier said, wow, what a great idea. You're going to put a menorah mamish there. He says, I want to be zoicha to light the menorah. So there's some technical problems with that. So this very smart rabbi said, oh, you, my friend, will light the menorah. You will light the shamash. You will light the helper. And from that, we will take the light and we will light the menorah. He didn't explain to him the whole inyan and halacha. You know, halacha is a mitzvah, kofsa, okay, fine. But when I thought about that, I thought about another idea from another night that he spoke about, which is kind of interesting. We don't think about this or not. I don't think we ever thought about this. I never thought about it, but it's cute. Son comes to the father on the second day of Hanukkah, and the father's setting the candles out. And he says, oh, it's the third day of Hanukkah? And he says, no, my son. Today's the second day of Hanukkah. He says, no, one, two, three. There are three candles. He says, no, you understand the Shamash. Third day, he says, oh, dad, it's the fourth day. Son, no. He says, I don't understand. What's wrong with that candle? He says, this is called the Shamash. It's a Shamash, literally, the helper. He's the helper. We don't count him. So Jacobson says, isn't that such a message for life? Here you have the shamash. Think about the shamash. I don't know if you're like me. I bought this year, I never did this before, it was a huge candle, right? You know, when you I don't know if you remember from way past when they had something called Kolo Boker. Kolo, right? Do they still do that? And they give out and you get the long candle to light it, right? Okay, you've seen the long candle before. I don't think I'm crazy. Right? It's this long candle. What does it do? So if you have an oil thing, it lets you light it. And all of a sudden, right, by like the third... So in my house, Baruch Hashem, we have many children who light. So like by the third night, the candle's nabuch, you know, it's like this big now because it's... The shamash is like a little... But who's the shamash? The shamash is the helper. He's the helper. He's the one who doesn't get any credit at all. He's not even called one of the candles at Hanukkah. But he does it all. Without him, nothing happens. If you don't have a shamash, you're not allowed to light from one candle to another. You need the shamash. But he gets no respect. Ah, that's who we have to be. We got to light up other people. We got to say no. A status quo is not enough. I want to light myself up and I want to light other people. Think of that, Rabbi Yisai, of this thought. Grandparents or great-grandparents went through the Holocaust. If you were to tell them, I know you're in the depths of darkness. I know, I get it. But in 80 years from now, they're going to light candles at that same place where there was such death and destruction. They would laugh at you. Are you kidding me? You've seen the pictures, March of the Living, the flyover by the Israeli Air Force. Those amazing pictures. Anybody would have thought that that's possible? The power of light in the midst of darkness. But the story doesn't end there. And this was one very small part that he misspoke about. And I have to say it because it means a lot to me. And should mean a lot to you. 80 years later, Rabbi Isai, there is a Jew whose name is Yehuda. Let's remember the Yehuda that we referred to before. The light of Yehuda. And his name is Yehuda Mazenbach. And Yehuda Mazenbach lives in a town in Israel called Beit Shemesh. And he lit a menorah 80 years later. And do you know what menorah he lit? He lit the menorah of his grandparents, the Posens. His grandfather's menorah. His grandmother's menorah with that note, and he reads it before lighting every year. And he says what we read already. Judah will die, thus says the flag. Yehuda, the Leben, the light of Yehuda will live forever and ever. And isn't it interesting that the holiday of Hanukkah is the holiday that so many Jews around the world celebrate? And, here in Eretz Yisrael, it's almost hard for me to believe that there's like any Jew that everybody lights Hanukkah candles. We were in the Shuk, and one of our many days of trying to figure out what to do with my kids. So we did a Shuk tour. I was the tour guide. And by the way, if you just say that you're the tour guide and they don't know it's your family, you get a lot of free food, by the way, so if you want to try that. Okay, anyway, so I was the tour guide. And we went to this one place. It's very famous. If you've been to the Shuk, I know you guys haven't because of the bars that are there, but the Shana Aleph guys will tell you about it. I think it's called the Jachnon Bar. They make Jachnon and Malawah and things like that. So they're these nice guys, clearly not yarmulkes or anything. They go, let's do something fun with your kids. Bo, It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know why we're doing it. But okay. They didn't make a bracha, but they did. And everybody, all of a sudden, Hanero talal, and everybody starts singing. And you see all these public ceremonies and all the people that are there and they're lighting. I just get such hanah from that. Seeing so many Jews who know Hanero's halalu by heart. And, you know, we're looking at it on our bench, we're saying, Hanero's halalu, you know? They know Ma'otzor by heart. Like, Ma'otzor, it's just easy. Yeah? So there is a great light. We're here to stay. Things aren't bad. You know, I noticed something in my trip, and this is the sign that I think that you're on the right path when you notice things like this. So obviously anybody who knows me well, and you guys I hope do, know that part of my life, and my wife, Baruch Hashem, realizes this, that part of my life revolves around food. So whenever we do anything, say, well, what are we going to do for lunch? Like that was a joke to my family. What is Abba going to do for lunch? Where are we going to go? So one day, we went to a chumas place. I happen to be, it's one of the things, I don't think I touched chumas in my years in America, and now I'm like addicted. I love chumas. All types of chumas, chumasiyah, especially this real chumas. Okay, fine. So we go to this chumasiyah, we're eating there, and it was with the hamonam, if you will. So there are many people, Baruch Hashem, another amazing thing about it, just well, everybody in the store is eating kosher, but hardly anybody's wearing a yarmulke or any sign that they're religious. And there was a family there where the father clearly does not look like he's from, and I just using the colloquial terms, I believe that most of these people are way firmer than I'll ever be in my life. Way more passionate about Hashem and Yahadus. But in any case, he was very much dressed like he, you know, had a shaved head. And his daughter, I have no idea how old she was, but clearly also not dressed that way to espouse to be religious. Happened to be going in and out of the store. I'm not sure why. And I noticed something very unique. Every time she left the store and she came into the store, she went up to the mezuzah and she would kiss the mezuzah. Something that I personally don't do. And I said to myself, wow. Look at her parents. Look how these people look at the table. And she stops before and she says, Shoyme Delos Hashem. That's Eretz Yisrael. You think you're going to do anything to us? You got no chance, you Arabs. You got no chance. But we have to believe that we are these candles. Then we are, add brightness, we're the shamash. I don't need all the glitz and glory about it. I don't need to be the head of a kiruv organization. But I do that and I show with who I am that people say, wow, that's a religious person? Oh, I want to be like that. There's so many stories. I don't want to make fun of other stories. But there are so many stories about people. And one story that comes to mind, somebody's actually, I don't want to embarrass him, but he's sitting in the basement just now learning. He became frum later in life. His father became frum. They lived in a non-religious community. And his father is a doctor. And his father joined a practice. And for the father, unfortunately, it was a practice of Orthodox Jews. And the father, being Jewish but not religious, really did not like Orthodox Jews. And he had a lot of negative things to say about them. And after being there for a few weeks and then a few months, he went up to the major doctor there, the main partner, and he said, I got to ask you a question. Why are you so nice? It reminds me, I went to the doctor with my wife yesterday. We went to this office, and you know how it is. Maybe you don't. But you wait for hours and hours, and everybody's mean to you. And they, you know, you sit somewhere, and they say, don't sit there. Sit. And this was like, and I had to say, like, you're the nicest people in the world. We came, they go, oh, Baruch Hashem, you're on time. Go right in. We're like, go right in. Don't have to wait an hour and a half. This is like Minog Yisrael. Like, you have to wait an hour and a half. And then I sat down, and they had a seat that was right by the woman's desk, which is a little bit annoying for her, but I wanted to prepare my shiur. And I'm like, do you mind? She goes, yeah, why don't you use the desk? I go, oh, great. I said, oh, you have the schut now, you know, the shiur. We're going on and on and on. These people are nice. And he says, what are you so nice for? He says, why should I be nice? He says, because you're Orthodox Jew. Orthodox Jews aren't nice. Tachlis of the story is, he became frum because of these doctors. Because he saw that is the way a religious Jew acts. It's an amazing story, but the light that you can light. Rav Nachman's famous line that became very famous, filu b'hastaros, right? Even in the darkest of times, we have to recognize the Ribbono Shalom there. And this is a dark time. And it's difficult. And there's still a, you know, Shir still has a lot to recover from. But Amritz Hashem, she'll have, Baruch Hashem, many other children. And hopefully she'll recover from the great sorrow that she's in. And Amid Yisrael should be a Melech Yosher for us. Should daven for us, recognizing that we're here to stay. And like Yehuda, in our parsha, Rabbi Isai. And it's interesting that the word Yehuda was used. Judah will die, says as a flag. Judah will live, says the lights. Yehuda's the one who goes and establishes Goshen. Why does his father send him? I said this in Lessons from the Lev. But it's an important concept. You know why his father sent him? Because of who Yehuda was. Yehuda wasn't the Yisachar who was a sitting learning Torah every day, or the B'nai Shevet Levi who was going to be the forefront of Avodas Hashem. He was the regular guy. I pointed out that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says that's why we're called Jews. Why aren't we called Joes? Why are we not called Joes? Why are we called Jews? We're not any ordinary Joe. We're Jews. Why? Because we're Yehuda. Yosef was like extraordinary. We call him Yosef HaTzadik. The Rebbeinu Shalom realizes that you're not always going to be tzaddikim. It's nice that people call you tzaddikim. I joke, you know, when you go to the shuk. I said to my wife, this is really amazing. Everybody in the shuk knows me. I said, why? So they always call me over and say, tzaddik, tzaddik, tavonopo. I'm like, yeah, they know, right? But we're not tzaddikim. We don't always last through the tests. And Yosef was extraordinary. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, we can't be called Joes because we're Yehuda, Yehuda V'tamar. That is the shevet of what? Mashiach. My shevet. That's the shevet, the Rebbeinu Shel. We're in that shevet, by the way. We're sitting in Beit Shemesh, the shevet Yehuda. That's Malchus. Malchus comes from who? David. Shh. David HaMelech. Where did David come? That's Mashiach. Recognize that. Realize that. That's Yehuda. Yehuda is going to live the light. Your job is to give light to other people and light up yourself. Light up yourself. And that's the response. And every time, Rabbi Isai, and it should be that what I'm saying doesn't make any sense to you because it's never going to be, but any other time there's a terrorist attack, and Rahman al-Litzlan, somebody passes away, you stop and you say, okay, what am I going to do concrete to add a light to this person's life who's no longer there? Something small. Something small. I'm going to say Moda'ani with Kavana now. I'm going to say Moda'ani maybe. I'm going to remember to ask Netilas Yadayim before davening, before every davening you should. I don't know. I don't want to, you know, throw out different possibilities. But you understand what I'm saying. How did this change me? How can I look at my sitter and say, oh, this bracha, I have more kavanah in it. That was for Ari Fold. And this bracha, I have more kavanah, unfortunately, because of the... And this was... And my Shimon Esrei is 25 seconds longer. It's because of this person. We should be zoicha not to see any of this, not to have to witness such a tragic machmon al-Islan. They kill people, but they kill a mother, they kill a mother's baby, not even born. They don't care. Rabbeinu Shalom, Dayenu. We love Eretz Yisrael more than anybody ever will, which obviously means we love you more than anybody ever will. And for that, Rabbi Yisai, you should be zeicha to see Mashiach Tzidkenu with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and these yeshuvim. We make a bracha when we build a new yeshuv, Beit Zivgvul Almana. Rabbeinu Shalom is the Almana. We're rebuilding Hashem. We're rebuilding your land. And for that reason, please rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And may you be Amenu, Amen, V'Amenu.